Okay, we're going to turn to God's Word and this morning we're going to continue with the series that I started a couple weeks ago. We're calling this Growing a Healthy Church, and so that's the overall theme, and that's focusing on the core values of this church. There's eight of them, and this morning we're focusing on the core value. It's called passionate spirituality, and you see that up on the screen there. And so I'd like you again, let's just read that together. Passionate spirituality.
Members will seek to live lives that are fully devoted to Christ, practicing their faith with joy and enthusiasm.
So that's the core value, and we're going to read two passages in Scripture relating to that. Mark 8:31-37, and also Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16. So hear then the word of God. He, that is Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And then he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about that. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into his Father's glory with the holy angels." And then Galatians 5, beginning at verse 15. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And so far then, the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, when you hear the word passionate, what comes to mind for you? To have passion is to get all fired up about something. People can be passionate about a hobby or playing a certain sport. Some people can have a passion about money management, while others, their passion is to spend their money. Some people are passionate about health and fitness. Some are passionate about traveling or what they do on weekends. As Canadians, we're known for our passion for hockey, as has been evident with the World Cup of Hockey this past week. So, what comes to mind here when you hear the phrase passionate spirituality? Perhaps you can think of a time in your life when you were really excited about being a Christian. Maybe it was when you were a new believer, when you couldn't get over the fact that God loved you and you just couldn't get enough of reading the Bible. The phrase passionate spirituality might think of people who are still excited about their faith and never stop talking about it, even though they've been believers for years. You might be somewhat envious of some people. Or it could be that they drive you crazy. There are other people who think the phrase passionate spirituality is really a contradiction of terms. Kind of like a deafening silence. Or a working vacation. Or jungle shrimp. For people like that, one's spirituality is seen as something that's quiet and peaceful. Something that they would rarely associate with excitement. And for them, passion, the word passion, then, is seen as getting all fired up about something. It's expressive and vibrant and it's something that gets one's blood pumping. And so there are some people who just can't put these two together. Passionate spirituality. Now, when this church chose to put the core values together when the church was started 10 years ago and chose the words passionate spirituality as one of the 8 core values, this core value speaks of members who are fully devoted to Christ, who practice their faith with joy and enthusiasm. That's what the core value says. In other words, what it's saying is that the hope is that the people of this church will live out our faith with commitment, with passion, and with enthusiasm. That we would have a kind of faith that would be contagious to others. A faith that attracts other people to Jesus and to his church. So let me ask. Does that describe you in the way you live out your faith? Now, I would assume that there are some of us here this morning who feel that we could use some more passion in our lives as far as it comes to spiritually, that we could grow in this area. That we could have some more passion for Jesus in our lives as individuals, but you also might feel, yeah, as a church body here, that we could also be somewhat more on fire for God in this community. And for a church to be healthy and growing, there certainly needs to be a passion for Jesus and his human purposes. We don't want to be a church where people don't care. We don't want to be a church where people are just merely going through the motions. We want to be a church where there's life, where people are practicing their faith with joy and with enthusiasm. Now, that certainly doesn't happen automatically. In fact, it requires a choice for us to live out our faith in that way. See, life is full of choices, and our lives are impacted by the decisions that we make on a daily basis. Yogi Berra, the great philosopher, once said, "If you come to a fork in the road, take it." In Mark 8, Jesus presents his disciples with a fork in the road. And like Yogi Berra, they want to take it. And somewhat like some of us today, they kind of want to go both ways at the same time. They want to follow Jesus, but at the same time, they kind of want it on their own terms. They want Jesus to go in the direction that they want him to go for them. And Jesus tells them in Mark 8, verse 31, the Son of Man, in other words, Jesus himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Well, Peter, one of the disciples, speaks for the other disciples. And he tells Jesus that they don't want that kind of Messiah. They want a successful military leader who will sit on the throne of Israel, and that the disciples, that they could be his primary assistants. That's the kind of Jesus that they want to follow. Jesus doesn't suffer from such lack of clarity when he finds himself before being wrong. Now, Jesus might not like the idea of going to the cross, but he makes his destination clear. Jesus shows what it means to be committed to his heavenly Father and his kingdom purposes. And Jesus knows there's no easy way out for him to give himself up as the Savior of this world. And then Jesus calls his disciples to have that same kind of commitment in their lives. Jesus says in verse 34 and 35, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever follows me, must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life, says Jesus, will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save. And Jesus thereby shows the key to a passionate spirituality for us. It begins with a life that's devoted to putting Jesus first in response to what he's already done for us. We will only be passionate about serving and living for Jesus when we grasp the depth of his love and his commitment to us. We will only live out our faith with joy and enthusiasm when we grasp the cost for Jesus to become our Savior. That he was willing to leave the comfort of his heavenly home, become one of us, and to give up his life on the cross for us, for our sin. It's only when we recognize that our need for God's grace and God's forgiveness in Jesus that we will respond with a lifestyle of joyful and enthusiastic service for him. Now Jesus has gone to the cross for us. And Jesus now calls us as his followers to take up our cross as well. We've heard that before. So what does that mean? What does that mean for us to take up our cross? In a nutshell, it means that we live a life of self-denial as modeled for us by Jesus himself. And you know, that doesn't come natural to any one of us. Billy Strayhorn tells the story of a kindergarten teacher who frequently reminded her students to stop being a wham. You say, what's a wham? W-A-M. For this teacher, wham stands for what about me? You know how we often do that. Yeah, but what about me? And she was trying to train the children to be less self-centered, to think of others' needs and not just their own. And so instead, what the teacher was trying to teach them was instead of being a wham, that they were to be a way, W-A-Y. What about you? That we don't just think about me, that we think about you, that we think about the other person. And Strayhorn says that you and I, as followers of Jesus, we are to be people of the way. We ask, what about you? What about the needs of another person? That we concern ourselves with the needs of others, not only within the church, but also within the community that God places us. That we look to serve and love others as Jesus has shown the way with his unconditional love and sacrifice for us. That's what it means to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. And that needs to be an integral part of our passionate spirituality. A willingness to put our own needs aside. A willingness to serve others in response to what Jesus does for us. Now, that's what Jesus says here in this passage. But Jesus warns that our spiritual passion is something that can easily get deflated. And he says that happens when we focus ourselves too much of the distractions of this world. Jesus says in verse 36, what good is it for you to gain the whole world? Forfeit your soul. In other words, what Jesus says here is if we focus too much on the pleasures or the treasures of this world, that will diminish our spiritual passion. Because in our distractions, what inevitably happens is we turn our eyes away from Jesus. And when we lose sight of Jesus in our lives, inevitably there will be little passion. It's kind of like with a relationship with a spouse. For those of us who are married, we can think back to those early days when we started dating. Those early days when we were first married. And in that time, you know, it was easy to be passionately in love with your spouse. You did things with and for each other, and you did that with joy and enthusiasm. But somehow, in many marriages, after a while, the passion seems to kind of wear off. And why is that? Well, many times it's because we get distracted by other things. We don't always do as many things together, and we kind of start to take each other for granted. And in the process, sometimes our relationship can kind of start to become somewhat ho-hum. The spark sometimes is missing, sometimes maybe just flickering at that. And why is that? Because too often, we're too busy focusing on other things rather than doing things with or for each other like we did in the beginning. And in the process, we tend to lose some of that initial passion for each other. And you know, the same thing can happen in our relationship with Jesus. Many of us can think of a time when we were more passionate about our love and our commitment for Jesus. We were excited about our faith and how we can live for God in our service and our witness for Jesus. But over time, for some of us, we lost some of that initial devotion and enthusiasm for Jesus in our lives. And why is that? Probably because things became a little too routine after a while. Probably because in our lives we became a little bit too distracted by other things in our lives. Things like our work, our hobbies, even family commitments, or even commitments within the church. Good things. But sometimes these things can take away from our time spent with Jesus and the teachings of His Word. Sometimes what happens is they take the focus away from the Holy Spirit's work in our daily living. And you know, when that happens, that never happens overnight. Like with a relationship with a spouse, there's usually a gradual kind of slippage, a gradual drifting away, a gradual loss of that initial joy and enthusiasm. Now we see the Apostle Paul addressing this issue with the Galatians in chapter 5. The Galatian Christians had come to faith in Jesus with great enthusiasm. And then Paul says somehow they were hoodwinked by some theologically confused people who encouraged them to follow certain rules and traditions, believing that that would make them true followers of Jesus. But Paul says that all these do's and don'ts in your lives, basically what it's done is it sucked the life out of your faith in Jesus. The spiritual passion is gone because you're no longer celebrating the goodness and the joy of God's grace and forgiveness to you in Jesus. And in response, Paul points them to a new way of living, something that he might well have called a passionate spirituality. In verse 16, in Galatians 5, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, the original language, when it talks, when it uses the word walk, what it literally says is keep walking. Keep walking in the Spirit, by the Spirit. In other words, Paul urges them to have an ongoing experience of living by God's Spirit in their lives. Not just a one-time kind of zap by the Spirit. No, continual living by the Spirit. And Paul said, when you keep walking and living by the Spirit in that way, then the sinful desires of the flesh, then the distractions that sometimes have their grip on you, they will diminish. And then you will live for Jesus with a renewed passion and enthusiasm, says Paul. And so for us to live by the Spirit in that way is to look to God's Spirit to guide us and to empower us in all of our daily activities. Because the Holy Spirit promises to transform us, to become more and more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit promises to infuse us with the passion to love and serve others as Jesus has shown the way for us. And not only that, the Holy Spirit will fill us with what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, who here this morning would not like to be more loving, to be more peaceful, to be more patient, and so forth? We want that, but what we need to realize is we can't do that in the main strength. As we walk by the Spirit, as we live by the Spirit in our lives, then the Holy Spirit will lead us in our relationships with other people. The Holy Spirit will enable us to look beyond our own self-centered ways to love and serve others with a passion that we're unable to serve up within ourselves. In that sense, the Holy Spirit is somewhat like a GPS device that many of us have in our vehicles these days. I remember when someone first showed me a GPS device about 20 years ago. I'd never seen one before. And he showed me how this thing works, and I was just simply amazed how this little screen could give the driver directions for where to turn at one's desired destination. Now we kind of take that for granted now. But when we become a Christian, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who serves like a GPS device for us. And as we pay attention to the Spirit, we receive divine guidance for our actions in our lives. The Spirit nudges us towards someone in need that Jesus wants us to serve. The Spirit convicts us to reach out to someone to share the hope that we have in Jesus. In Galatians 5, verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so what Paul describes here is a picture of the Holy Spirit walking ahead of us. And we're walking close behind the Spirit, imitating the Spirit's steps as he leads us to love and serve others, as Jesus does for us. Now, children sometimes do that sort of thing in the winter, in the snow. One child is making tracks through the snow, and there's some other children following as they make tracks through the snow. And in that way, as we walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit shows us where to step, helping us to walk in God's way each day as we look to God's word for direction. So for us as a church to be healthy, to be the kind of healthy church that God would want us to be, we also need to collectively look to God's Spirit to direct us in our service and witness for Jesus in this community. Right? You see, our spiritual passion isn't just based on what we do here on a Sunday morning like this. Our Our spiritual passion needs to be reflected in how we live out our faith in our daily activities, in how we interconnect with people that we work with, that we go to school with our neighbors, with people in our recreational activities. God wants us to live out our faith and do that with joy and enthusiasm. So let me ask, is it that way for you? Is your faith the same from Monday to Saturday in your weekly activities as it is here in our Sunday morning worship? Who we are in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, in our recreational activities, that needs to reflect how our lives have been changed by Jesus, how our lives have been transformed by our faith and our hope in Jesus. Because you know what? Like it or not, people are watching us in the way that we live out our faith in this community. And so, when people are watching you, what are they seeing? Are they seeing you as someone who is passionately committed to living for Jesus in this world? Or are they looking at you as someone who's more in love with the things of this world? In Romans 12, verse 11 and 12, Paul says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." No matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been a Christian, God wants us to show through our actions that we're fully devoted to Jesus and that we're living out our faith with joy and enthusiasm. And we can only do that with the Holy Spirit living within us, producing the fruit of the Spirit within us as we love and serve others in response to what Jesus has done for us. That, my friends, is what we call passionate spirituality. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know how we would like to be known for our passionate spirituality. How we'd like to be more fully devoted to you as our God. That we would like our faith to be lived out with joy and enthusiasm at all times. And yet we confess that our passion for you and for your kingdom purposes sometimes gets deflated by the distractions of the world around us. And sometimes even by our own self-centeredness. Holy Spirit, help us to look to Jesus in a renewed way in our lives. Infuse us with a renewed sense of spiritual passion. And Lord God, Lord Jesus, help us to continue to look to you and to realize what you have done for us. That you were willing to give up your very life for us to set us free from our sin. Help us to just keep our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, and the amazing gift of your grace and your love for us. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with that kind of spiritual passion that we can't stir up within ourselves. And enable us to live and to walk by the Spirit in a fresh new way. We pray that you will give us a renewed hunger for your word, Lord God. Yes. Convict us to love and serve others in response to your love and your grace for us in Jesus. And may it be, Lord, that our passion, our spiritual passion, gets noticed by people around us. We pray that you will use us as individuals, use us collectively as a church, Lord God, to attract others to this church. And may that come through people seeing us as spiritually alive people for you in this world. So we pray in the name of Jesus.